Welcome to River Life Podcasts. We're a church family embracing the Father's presence, releasing empowered people to declare and demonstrate Christ's kingdom. We trust that God would use what you hear today to bless and grow you so that you would be a blessing to those around you. For more information about River Life Baptist Church, go to riverlifechurch.org.au or find us on social media.
In the past few weeks, I've been amazed at how much noise there is. Is it just me, or has the world's noise gotten louder and more intrusive? Whether you're in Wuhan or you're in Sao Paulo or Istanbul, across any city in India, maybe you're in Milan or Madrid, Paris or London, as cities go into lockdown, banging of pots and pans coming out onto balconies, giving whistles and standing ovations has become the thing to do. And so has tweeting about it, posting videos. It's a natural thing for us to want to make a big deal, to make a noise about those in whom we place our trust. We want to draw attention to what they do, what they've done for us, what they might need to do for us. Because at this time where there's a crisis, a pandemic, where would we be without them? We make a noise so that we can unify, we can come together and we can applaud those who are so sacrificially giving of their time and their service to protect us, to keep us in good health. The noise of cheers and whistles rumbles down empty streets and laneways, and it ruminates around cities. But there's also other noise at this time. There's fear-fueled panic noise. I don't know if you are a bit over the 24/7 news updates or social media cycles, infection rates, death tolls, stock market shifts, self-funded superannuation movement, travel restrictions, legislation changes, it goes on and on. It's gone far beyond merely information. It's COVID-19 and the economic aftershock news has been amplified to deafening levels, saturating our diet with the daily consumption of topics that induce hopelessness, hysteria, and panic. And even though in Australia we're only weeks into this lockdown, it's still impossible to contemplate we could absorb any more statistics. Yet morning and evening, day after day, we tune in to the news feeds to consume more fear-inducing noise. For others, there's distraction. I don't know about you, but maybe you're one of the people that has meant there's no gym equipment to purchase anywhere, and even online there's a waiting list. Some of you out there are going to look super buffed by the time we come out of lockdown. Bottle shops are trading in the same sort of rate as pre-Christmas trading. People are consuming alcohol as a way to deal with their panic and their anxiety. Consuming more and starting drinking earlier. But at the same time, we see a spike in family and domestic violence. On March 16th, just 5 days after the World Health Organization declared a global pandemic, consumers watched nearly 156 billion minutes of streaming content on TV, 22% increase from the week before. With most countries that are in lockdown, they've seen a 40% increase in streaming content. That is such a glut of content that is even more noise for us to wade through. And the last kind of noise that's caught my attention is the noise of defiance, of disregard, of dismissal. Is there really anything to be concerned about? I mean, is all of this social isolation and distancing truly necessary? It's not going to touch me. In fact, this is just limiting what I want to do. It's impeding on my freedoms. I don't know if any of these categories describes your default setting at this time, but these are unprecedented times, and so many people don't know how to respond to what is happening around them and to them. But today, I want to share with you that there is another way. God is awake. God is speaking. His voice is active. You may not be tuned into it, but he is speaking. None of this is actually a surprise to God. not even the economic aftershocks. Now is the time for his kingdom sound to cut through world noise. Now is the time to Shema. Just as the Israelites would recite and meditate daily on this incredible declaration of their steadfast love to God. Now is the time to Shema, O descendants of Israel, to love our God, as Jesus said, the first and greatest commandment, to listen, to pay attention to think constantly about his commandments, to teach those commandments to our children, to live each day in the instruction of his word, to amplify and to release his kingdom sound. What are you influenced by? Are you influenced by the world's noise or by his voice? What is your sound? Is it noise or is it a kingdom sound? When I was praying about this message, I asked God, what passage would he want to teach through today? What would he want to speak to you through? And it's amazing, he didn't give me a direct answer. It's interesting, isn't it? Because he'll often give us the answer to a question we haven't even asked. I received three words. I received Sabbath, Shema, and revival. Now, I'm not Jewish, so it took a little bit of study to work out what God was really saying to me. But over and over, I was kept being directed in Scripture back to Ezekiel. Now, we're in lockdown for different reasons to what the Israelites were in captivity through their disobedience. But there are a lot of lessons from the book of Ezekiel that we can apply to our situation today. You know, Ezekiel lived in a time of international upheaval. The Assyrian Empire had conquered and destroyed the northern kingdom of Israel. A few years later, Nebuchadnezzar had been elevated to the Babylonian throne. He sent the forces against Jerusalem, subduing and taking captive over 10,000, it tells us in 2 Kings chapter 24, and that included Ezekiel. They joined the other exiles in Babylon that were already there, that had happened in the book of Daniel. In exile, it was then that Ezekiel received his calling from God to be a prophet. He was from a priestly family, and he became God's priest and prophet to the Israelites in captivity. But before he could go and deliver God's message to the people, he needed to hear the voice of God. He needed to listen. He needed to consume God's word. Ezekiel needed to take God's word to heart so he was able to declare and demonstrate it to others. In chapter 2 of Ezekiel, in the early part of chapter 3 as well, we see God and Ezekiel having this conversation. God was speaking to Ezekiel. He said, "Son of man, I am sending you to the Israelites, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. Do not be afraid of what they say, nor be terrified by them, though they are rebellious people. You must speak my words to them, whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are rebellious." In chapter 2, it goes on to say, "Son of man, I am sending you to them, whether they listen or fail to listen, they will know that a prophet has walked among them. And you, son of man, don't be afraid of their words. Don't be afraid of what they say. Don't be terrified. You must speak my words to them. Open your mouth, eat what I give you." And then we read on, and there was this open vision. It was beautiful. There was this hand that came down. It was holding a scroll. There were words on both sides. And God's voice said to Ezekiel, "Taste it, eat it. Son of man, eat what is on the scroll. Go and speak to the people." So Ezekiel ate it, and it says to us that it tasted as sweet as honey in his mouth. When you read God's word, does it taste good? Then God said, "Son of man, go now. Go to the people of Israel and speak my words to them. You are not being sent to a people of obscure speech or strange language, but to the people of your nation." Wow, this passage, it just blows my mind. God was asking Ezekiel to consume his word. Then, regardless of reaction or outcome, go. Open your mouth. Declare God's message to the people. Don't give them what they want to hear. Give them what I've told you to say. See, it was all about obedience. It was about faithful delivery of God's message, not about the impact. In this passage, three times God says to Ezekiel, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of their ridicule, their mocking. Don't be afraid of criticism. Simply pay attention to what I've told you, what you've heard from me, and then do as I have asked you to do. What are you influenced by? The world's noise or God's voice? What is it that you will be known by? Your noise or a kingdom sound? At the same time that Jeremiah was ministering to the people still in Judah, Ezekiel was speaking to those already in exile. But both were giving the same message, that God was purifying his people and wanted them to return to him. Unfortunately for Ezekiel, it wasn't going to be a once-off, stern, hope-crushing word of divine judgment. Israel's sin, that they were broken in the covenant with God, and that Jerusalem would fall. We see that it was a message repeated over 7 years. We even see it over the first 24 chapters of the book of Ezekiel. God had Ezekiel replaying his message over and over again. Listen to God. Pay attention to him. Repent of your sins and all of your compromises. Obey me. It was a really clear word. See, many were distracted by the noise in their captive world. Others were really dismissive of the message, saying, nah, I'm not sure that's going to happen. I mean, we're God's covenant people. That's God's city. That's God's temple. Surely this is not going to happen. God's going to give us an early release from this exile, and he's going to prevent Jerusalem from being destroyed. Yet the only hope that the prophet Ezekiel was authorized to give to the hearers was that there was a way for them to live at peace and in relationship with God during their exile. God wanted holiness in his people then, just as much as he wants to cleanse us with his righteousness if we would come to him and we would repent of our sin and our compromising, that we would cease to find delight and comfort in every other thing but him during our challenging circumstances. See, the coronavirus lockdown has exposed far more than we would have ever imagined. Things God is pointing at and saying, pay attention, get rid of these things. These don't make my kingdom sound in your life. These don't reflect me very well. Re-examine what counts in your life. Put your priorities back in line. What are you influenced by? The world's noise or his voice? See, Ezekiel was fearless and unwavering in his representation of the Almighty God. At a time where there was much fear-fueled panic, numbness, hopelessness, even indifference and dismissive reaction of the proclamation of God's word. It is easy for us to call others up to a standard of behavior when we're relatively untouched by the circumstances, right? He was in captivity, but he was relatively free and autonomous to move around, to conduct his ministry, to do his street preaching. He wasn't in lockdown as we are now. But the heat turns up for us when the circumstances start to shift, doesn't it? When it starts to touch us personally. The question I feel God's asking is, can we still remain focused on him? Can we still honor the call in our life, relaying his message to others faithfully, even when our circumstances don't make sense, when it feels like God might be abandoning us? Will you still be known by a kingdom sound, or will you start to make some noise? After being informed by the Lord that Jerusalem was under siege, we read in chapter 24, and it would surely fall, Ezekiel was also delivered another blow. he was told that his beloved wife would soon die. And we pick this up in chapter 24. The word of the Lord came to me, "Son of man, with one blow I am about to take away from you the delight in your eyes. You do not lament or weep or shed tears. Groan quietly. Do not mourn for the dead. Keep your turban fastened, your sandals on your feet. Do not cover your mustache or beard. Eat customary food of mourners." So Ezekiel spoke to the people in the morning. In the evening, his wife died. The next morning, Ezekiel did as he had been commanded to do. The message was personal now for Ezekiel. His home, his family would suffer deep loss. What brought him joy was being taken away from him, his wife, his companion, his friend, just as the delight of Israel's eyes, the temple, would be taken from her. I'm sure he wanted to make some noise about this. I'm sure that he wanted to express his grief and confusion to God, to those around him. Is this fair? God, I've been faithfully representing you year after year, giving your message, and yet you're stripping away things from me. Why are you stripping this away from me? But Ezekiel obeyed God fully. He was what wholehearted obedience looks like, even when it wasn't making sense to him. The way Ezekiel responds puts such a challenge to each one of us. When the temptation would be to just focus inwards, to pull back, to hesitate, God was asking Ezekiel, stay ready, stand up. God was asking Ezekiel to lead by the demonstration in his life, not just the declaration. You see, obeying God can come at a high price. But that's what we sign up for when we give God our yes, right? Ezekiel knew from his time listening to God, paying attention to him, that any personal sorrow that he felt was soon to be usurped by the national mourning and weeping. What brought the nation of Israel delight was about to be destroyed. He knew that God was never wrong, even though circumstances were causing him to deeply wrestle with God. Did I hear right? What are you up to? What did you say? Where's your love for us? Is this your nature? Why, God? Why? Just like us today, for Ezekiel, there was a lot of noise. There was noise in his world. There was noise in himself. There was noise in his spirit. Yet he knew that loud wailing was only going to add to the world's noise. Have you noticed how noise can actually drown out clarity? The key to understanding our circumstances is to focus on God rather than the experience, the confusion, the suffering. Why? Because we actually want God's perspective on our situation. We want him to inform us about our circumstances, not allow confusing times and our own pain to define God. Circumstances are just events that God uses to speak about himself and his will. We face circumstances in our life every day. Unless we start to look for and ask God and hear about his activity in the midst of all of these, it will just become one lifelong succession of confusing occurrences. But if we're sensitive to God's voice, these same events can hold such spiritual significance. They can deliver such powerful upgrades in our faith journey. See, the Israelites knew what it took to be sensitive to God's voice. For thousands of years, the Jewish people meditated on the Shema, these well-known words, morning and evening, as a way of expressing devotion to God and reminding themselves of what it took to hear God's voice over the top of all the noise that was surrounding them. They say it twice a day, when they lay down and when they get up. The statement is called the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, it tells us in Deuteronomy 6. When I read this, and I'm not Jewish, looking at it with fresh eyes, not out of duty that I've been grown up with, I felt challenged. Could I say the Shema when I'm feeling strong, when things are prospering for me, when I rise up in my life? Could I remember that He is above all things that attract my attention, that hold my desire? Could I say that I would love Him with all my strength if it meant that all my strength was all my resources? And similarly, could I say the Shema with as much sincerity when things are tough, when I don't understand the circumstances, when I don't understand what God is doing? When I choose to listen and declare that the Lord is my God, I need to make these statements to myself regularly. The Lord is one. I love you, my God, with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength. Can you say these words? See, the Shema was to be the central point so that they didn't forget. They didn't forget God when they entered the promised land, when it became easier and comfortable and they started to prosper. God knew that prosperity, even more than poverty, would dull down their spiritual vision because it creates an illusion of self-sufficiency apart from Him. See, what the Shema was summarizing was the most important thing God was drawing attention to, and that was right relationship with Him. Not a blanket protection against poverty and adversity and suffering. See, the first word of the Shema is to hear, to listen. In Hebrew, Shema can also mean pay attention to, focus on. It can also mean responding to what you hear. That's why so many cries for help in the Psalms start with the request for God to listen, to Shema. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me, it tells in Psalm 27, verse 7. So asking God to Shema is asking God not only to hear, but to act. Similarly, when God asks His people to listen, such as in Exodus 19, 5, it really reads like this: if you Shema me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations, you will be my treasured possession. See, in ancient Hebrew, there was no separate word for obey. There was no other definition of carrying out the will of someone who knows better, someone who's in authority over you, except for Shema. So God is asking His people to Shema, to listen and to obey. The same thing is asking them to keep His covenant with them. I wonder if the Israelites in Babylon were still practicing that daily rhythm of Shema. For us today, when we hear God's voice, whether it's written in His scripture, in His word, whether it's an audible voice, a still small voice in creation, through dreams, open vision, via other people, are we listening? Are we paying attention to it? Are we responding and acting on what we hear? You see, once we gain revelation, it requires a response from us. God's revelation comes to us not simply for information for us to absorb and store up and maybe touch later. It comes as a mandate for our faith. It comes to ask us to arise, to start to live it out, to conduct our lives by it. What are you influenced by? The world's noise or His voice? What are you going to be known by? Your noise or a kingdom sound? I don't know if you've seen the most recent McDonald's ad, COVID special. It's McDonald's, fast, safe, contact free. It's almost ironic that for those who want to engage with God, if they engage at all, for many, this is the definition of their relationship with God: fast, safe, predictable, contact-free, no strings attached. This might be religion for some, but this isn't what Jesus was talking about. See, it's not enough to just hear His voice. As it tells us in His words in Luke 6, they will live what they hear. The question will be, will we pay attention? Will we obey? Will we respond to what He is asking us to do? Will we be His body? Will we be His hands and feet? Will we be a kingdom ambassador? Will we be His first responders? Let me put it another way. When we hear God's voice cutting through all of the world's noise, does it cause us to act differently? Does our life declare and demonstrate a kingdom sound? When the hand of the Lord came upon Ezekiel and spoke to him through an open vision a second time, Jerusalem had been destroyed. The temple was gone. The circumstances appeared hopeless, and it was hard for them as a nation to believe that they would ever be restored to God or as the nation that they had known themselves as. In Ezekiel 37, it says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' I said, 'A sovereign Lord, only you alone know.' Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you. You will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, there was a rattling sound, and the bones coming together, bone on bone." You see, Ezekiel 37, this vision tells us there is a kingdom sound, a rattling sound of dry bones coming together, becoming living human beings again. The sound of the dead responding to God's message through Ezekiel. Once news was received that Jerusalem had fallen, the Lord turned his message in Ezekiel to being one of consoling words of hope for the nation. Just as God can raise dead bones to life, just as his people must believe that he can raise their nation again, that he would restore them to himself, and then they would experience revival, a glorious future as the redeemed. And just as God brought to life these dry bones, he would bring to life the spiritually dead. See, God was underscoring his promise that's throughout all of Scripture, that he is a God of restoration and spiritual renewal. That he is totally sovereign and not limited to the temple in Jerusalem. That he could respond to people's sins by leaving the sanctuary in Israel. That he could even find time to visit the rebellious children when they were in exile. But even further, he wanted the message to go out further. He wanted Ezekiel to tell the surrounding nations, to tell the nations, listen, pay attention, repent, obey, come into right relationship with the Almighty God. You see, there's a kingdom sound. There is a sound that cuts through the noise. I can hear the sound. It's a kingdom sound. The sound is freedom. The sound is Jesus. Release the sound. Don't be silent. See, it's time. It's time, River Life. It's time, believers everywhere, to translate God to this world. You are his kingdom sound. God is active and bringing the world back to the way he designed, into right relationship with him. Through Jesus, who carried our sins as the blameless and perfect sacrifice to the cross to make a way for us to enter his kingdom, to recalibrate our lives into relationship with the Almighty God, so that we could then, through his Spirit, declare and demonstrate his kingdom. That is his sound. He wants us to follow him and to contribute to that kingdom sound. What are you going to be known by? Your noise or this kingdom sound, his kingdom sound? These circumstances we find ourselves in right now provide us with a perfect opportunity to hear his voice, to stop in this forced Sabbath, to practice Shema, so that we might not only experience personal revival, but in obedience to his word, allowing his kingdom sound to start to emanate through us and to the world around us. Do you realize the testimony of Jesus in your life, empowered by the Holy Spirit, is emboldening and equipping you, if you would allow it, to create this kingdom sound, to create a climate change? The enemy, it tells us in Romans and in Revelations, the enemy cannot withstand the voice of God coupled with the testimony. There's power in our testimony. Your sound, your testimony is a kingdom sound. It changes the climate in your home, in your neighborhood, in the workplace, in every encounter that you have. The collective sound of our testimonies. This is the sound of dry bones coming back to life. People, this is the sound of revival. We want to be part of God bringing revival, not just to our nation, Australia, but to the world. Jesus says to each of us, now I have set you free. Don't be quiet. Time to get on your feet, to be prepared. No time for mourning, no time for grieving. It's time to make a kingdom sound. You have a testimony. You have a powerful physical and spiritual weapon to create a shift in the spiritual climate. You have been delivered and set free so you can be used by Him to deliver and to set others free. So you can influence all of this world noise and make a glorious kingdom sound. Let me pray. Dear Lord, I just thank you so much for your word. It's sharper and active. It's living. Lord, it cuts through time. It cuts through circumstances and it cuts right to our heart. Lord, let us shema you today, Lord. Let us listen, let us obey, let us act, let us be different. Lord, I just pray that your kingdom sound would be what ruminates and emanates from us as we move about, as we interact. Lord, we want to see revival in this nation. Lord, let us be part of that. Lord, let our heart be in right relationship with you. Jesus, I just pray these things in your name. We are so excited to see what you would do, what you would give us as an upgrade through this season to the hungry ones, to those who want to be in relationship with you. Jesus, we thank you for making a way. In your name, we pray these things. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this River Life podcast. Make sure you subscribe to keep up to date with all the latest content. If this podcast has raised any questions for you, contact us via church@riverlifechurch.org.au or through Facebook and Instagram. Thanks for listening.